Birchas Kohen. All right, so a few issues I'd like to deal with. Not all that pertain to. Well, one of them for sure does not apply to Kohanim. One of them is sort of a Kohen halacha, and then the third one is a everybody halacha, not particularly relevant specifically to Kohanim. So the So the first one is the first issue is that. Berchas Kohanim, things that only Kohanim do, other than things that we kind of honor ourselves or honor them by being first, usually are things that are done in the Beis HaMikdash, right? And Berchas Kohanim was certainly done in the Beis HaMikdash, right? So that, actually, the first source on the page is a Mishnah in Maseches Sota. Why in the world is it a Mishnah in Maseches Sota of all places? So Maseches Sota, after a while, it says the Parsha Sota has to be done in Lashon in Hebrew, and then it goes through all different things that are said, and whether it has to be done in Hebrew or whether it could be done in any language. So, on that list is Birchas Kohanim, and therefore the sugya of Birchas Kohanim is mostly found in Maseches Sota. So the Mishnah tells us how is Birchas Kohanim done. B'medinas omer otash shlosha brachos, v'mikdash bracha achas. That in the rest of the world, when you do it, you do it three brachos, and in the mikdash you do it as one bracha. B'mikdash omer Hashem kiksavo. In the base of mikdash, you would do the name, you would say the name of Hashem as it's written, yudke vavke. V'medina bikinuyav. And outside the land of Israel, and in the rest of the world, outside the base to Migdash, you would do it with the nickname, so to speak, of God that we use. And he gives a couple of other distinctions, how high the hands are raised, except for the Kohen Gadol, and that's it. Those are the differences.
So how do you say there's one bracha you just done?
I think we just read through, yeah.
Well, three would be combined. So you mean between
so the, right. You wouldn't say a main between. So
three sentences.
Right. You're doing it as one. I forget the reason. You can look up the Gemara there. I'll give the reason. So I was going through this, I said, wait a second. Who says that Birchas Kohanim is a din d'oraisa today? I mean, who said it could be? Maybe it actually is avoda in the Beis HaMikdash. Who says that that what we do as Birchas Kohanim, that's actually what the Torah itself says to do? So it's true that everybody quotes it that way, from what I could tell. The Rambam in the Sefer Mitzvos quotes it that way. There's a mitzvah done everywhere. And the Sefer Achinuch, he says, "V'noeg mitzvah zu noeg b'chol makom b'chol zman." This minhag is noeg everywhere, but it doesn't, like, where did it come from? So I found the article or a quote from a Yerushalmi, which I couldn't dig up. But the Emek Bracha, which is a modern day Sefer right here, it's Talmud of the Brisker Rav, Rav Zev Pomeranchik, who lived in the previous century. So he he writes there that it's connected to tefillah. That if you look on the where it says on the bottom of the right concept of a fliyanias daisi nira da nehid the nesias kapayim eno el b'shas avoda, that when you do a nesias kapayim it has to be done in the context of the avoda uvegvul and deleik avoda tefillah he b'makom avoda, and in chutzla or not chutzla it's outside the Beis HaMikdash where we're not bringing karbanos, or nowadays we're not bringing karbanos, so the context of avoda is the tefillah, our davening, v'zehu midoraisa, and that is doraisa. I only able to bring mashal kasabazet. I mean, you see earlier where we talk about that tefillah is din doraisa nira the miyikar din lo tzarech dafka birchas avoda ela iza tefillah shetehe avaya avoda the havi avoda shabaliv. So technically, even though we do birchas kohanim in the bracha of avoda, meaning in the middle of the bracha of ritzei, which is the bracha of avoda, he says technically it doesn't have to be there. It could just be in the context of tefillah, but tefillah is the connection to is our version of avoda, and just as the Birchas Kohanim is to be done in the context of avoda in the Beis HaMikdash, so we would be able to do that nowadays as well on the level of doraisa. So it seems like he's saying that it's the same mitzvah, that the same mitzvah, even though there might be different ways that it's done in the Beis HaMikdash versus nowadays, even in those days outside the Beis HaMikdash itself, it's the same mitzvah. Okay, so that was point number one.
You said they say the four-letter name in the temple.
Yes.
Wasn't that only on Yom Kippur they could say?
No, I think that was...
Or that was...
I don't know. That's what it says. That's what it says. I don't remember. Okay, so the Gemara then continues on and says, and that Maseches, so now that you understand that, so what halachos of Birchas Kohanim are, meaning if we're going to make distinctions, if we're going to say, well, it's the same mitzvah, well, then how are you making distinctions? And what distinctions are you going to make? So there are halachos that we learn out in Birchas Kohanim that are learned out from the laws of Avoda. So the first one is of the Avoda in the Beis HaMikdash. So number one, it talks about kotavarchu be'amida, tanyida kotavarchu be'amida, that this is the way that you're going to make the bracha, I mean, you have to do it standing. That's one of the mitzvahs of Birchas Kohanim. It has to be done standing. Maybe you could do it sitting. So Nemar Khan So it says here in social you make a bracha, and it says over there that you're going to stand and give the bracha. That's actually referring to Har Grizim and Har Eval, which we've talked about in the Yoshua here. So they would stand, right? So ma'al ha'al ba'amid, afkan ba'amid. That's one way of learning it out. Rabbi Nassan Omer, no, ain't it tzarech, you don't need that connection. Harayu Omer, dilishar so luvarech bishmo. That says to serve and give the bracha in his name. Ma mishareis ba'amid, just as a servant serves while standing. So to the one who's giving the bracha, meaning the Kohen, has to do the bracha standing up. How do you know the servant himself has this? How do you know that? Right, that you're going to stand and serve. So all of the avodah in the Beis Hamikdash is done standing. Learned out from there is also that avodas, the Birchas Kohanim, is also done standing. And that's the way you pass in the Shulchan Aruch. Source number four, Ein Mavarchin Ela B'Loshon HaKodesh Uvamida Uvenesiyas Kapayim Uvekol Ram. We have to have those four things, right? It has to be done in Hebrew, it has to be done standing up, it has to be done raising your hands, and it has to be done b'kol ram. All of those will exclude people, right? Kohanim from doing birchas kohanim. Well, Hebrew might not just repeat after the chazan, but v'amida, if a person can't stand, so then they can't do birchas kohanim. In fact, the Mishnah Berurah says that explicitly. Even if a person can't stand because they're weak, they wouldn't do birchas kohanim. So I heard recently a shiur by Ari Leibowitz gave a shiur where he described that he was in a Pesach program, and there was a Holocaust survivor well into his 90s, I think that was the case, and he had four generations of kohanim below him, meaning his son, grandson, great grandson, and he wanted to do birchas kohanim with all of his kids. The only problem is he was in a wheelchair and couldn't stand. So simple understanding is that he shouldn't do Birchas Kohanim. He said he's not really allowed to go up there and face everybody else. He gave the shiur, A, is there any way to allow him to, and B, what is... He said he was just the scholar in this Pesach program. He wasn't like the rabbi there. So what role does he have or anybody have to like correct this? If you're the rabbi of the shul, and or you're just a rabbi around, or you're just a person around. So if you want it, that shiur is available online. You can listen to it. But this is an important issue, which comes up. It's a difficult issue sometimes to tell a kohen, the halacha is the halacha. That's the deal.
Are there any other disqualifying things besides being able to stand?
All right, so the mum issue is coming up. Okay, so the Gemara continues on that. So that's patterned after the avoda. So there's a couple other things that are patterned after the avoda. So number one is that there's a mission Maseches Menachos. That's the very end of Maseches Menachos. HaKohanim Shishimshu Beveis Chonyo Lo Yishmishu BeMikdash Yerushalayim. That Kohanim that served in Beis Chonyo. So that sounds like it's a base avoda zara. So they're not allowed to do the avoda in the Beis Hamikdash. Comes Tosos and makes a comment. B'Sefer Azayir. That a Kohen who became an Apikoros, Yomer Daito, he left Judaism, so he's not allowed to do Birkas Kohanim. So question whether we pass in that way, but that raises then the issues of any Kohen, if he's a Machal Shabbos or Farhesia or things like that, is he then disqualified from Birkas Kohanim? So that's another possible connection, although we'll see that not even Tosos himself disagrees with that. Another one is in Maseches Tainis. Maseches Tainis is discussing there about Maseches Tainis discusses whether you do Birchas Kohanim in the afternoon of a fast day, which if it's late enough in the day, they do in Israel. I've seen this. If you're in Israel on a fast day, they will do Birchas Kohanim at a late mincha. In Samach Lashkia on a fast day in Israel, because you don't have to worry that the Kohanim are drinking, because they're fasting all day, so you don't have to worry about that. And we don't normally do it at Mincha, so if it's close to Shkia, it's considered like Ne'ilah, and Ne'ilah, it specifically says you do Birchas Kohanim. So in Israel, it's also a thing, if you've been in Israel on Yom Kippur, so that's a common issue, that they want to do Birchas Kohanim at Ne'ilah. The problem is Birchas Kohanim is the end of Ne'ilah. So you get stuck, because Birkas Kohanim has to be done before Shkia, before sunset. So if you do Birkas Kohanim before sunset, so you're left with Avinu Malkeinu and shofar blowing, which has to take place 40 minutes later. So what do you do to fill that time? We'll do a repetitive version of Avinu Malkeinu, just do the whole thing line by line, and it takes 25 minutes. The I think I was told in Karen Biavna, the Rosh Hashiva gets up and gives a shir, which, I don't know, that's a tough shir slot to give.
I was at the Sephardic Minyan at the JCC when I was a teenager. Rabbi Toldano led it in, and they did it during the Eilat.
Okay. All right, well, that's what we're talking about, doing an Ela. The only problem,
but I don't think they, what you said.
Okay, all right. So, so the Gemara then. So anyway, so the Gemara has this discussion of the Chuli Alamiya. So in that context, it says, well, it sounds like somebody who's drunk can't do Birchas Kohanim, which is why, right, Yom Kippur, Simchas Torah, do it early, not later. Okay. So the Chuli Alamiya Shikar Asur Benesias Kamayim. So how do we know that from? So Rabbi Yishuv Ben Levi says, oh, we learn it out from the fact that Birchas Kohanim is mentioned right next to the Parsha of Nazir in the Torah. Just as a Nazir is prohibited from drinking wine, so too a Kohen is prohibited from drinking wine and doing Birkas Kohanim. So they said to him, oh, wait a second, a Nazir is not allowed to eat grapes. You're going to tell me a Kohen is not allowed to eat grapes before they have eating a grape is going to nullify a Kohen from doing Birkas Kohanim? How could that be? So he says, well, compare it to Avoda. I mean, compare it to the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, you're also not allowed to do after they drink. So then the Gemara says, well, wait a second. A Kohen who is a Baal Mum is not allowed to do the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash if he has some kind of problem. So you're going to tell me that a Baal Mum Kohen can't do Birkas Kohanim? We all know that that's not true. So rather the Gemara then figures out a way, and though it's learned out from both, then fine. So a Baal can't do Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. That was last week's Parsha. But the implication of the Gemara is, oh, but we're not going to compare that to Birchas Kohanim. Of course they're allowed to do Birchas Kohanim.
Even with a Mum.
Even with a Mum. For now. That's what we're saying for now. Oh. So the that's good. There are some Mum that are pretty common, like being a lefty. Being a lefty, a Kohen's not allowed to be a lefty and do Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, which raises a couple of issues, because they say that the Gemara says that a Baal Mum would also exempt, if you get married and lo and behold the other person is a Baal Mum, so that could get you out of the marriage without having to give over a ksuva. So wait a second, does that mean that, oh, I never noticed you're a lefty. does that mean that
you
now right, so there are different, so they divide up the mumin in different categories. Some are because they look strange, and some are just because it's a functional problem, meaning the avodah in the Beis HaMikdash has to be done right-handed. So if you're a lefty, you can't do it right-handed. That's just the fact.
A lefty is not a mumin.
No, but a lefty is qualified as being, it's listed as a mumin.
Even if you're not a mumin. That's what I'm trying to get at.
Oh, yeah. So you mean for the marriage case?
Yeah, I mean, just this time. I mean,
I'm
a lefty. Can Nancy say that I have a moon?
Well, in theory, if she didn't. No. So we're saying not. The answer is no. Because it doesn't. Because we divide up mumin. Some are just, I wouldn't have known, and you look you look strange, and therefore you qualifies as a mum. A lefty is a functional mum. You just physically can't do the avodah, but it doesn't qualify as a mum.
Yes, but I'm not a Kohen, so therefore a mum wouldn't be a lefty.
Even for a Kohen.
For
a Kohen, it's not a mum in that it's a deformity, it's a mum in that he can't do avodah. So therefore it wouldn't get the
other
person out.
Could they learn like a switch hitter and these to do it right?
You could learn, sure, you could learn. So then they could learn. Okay, so So Tosfos here actually comments that from here we see that that we're not going to compare and say that a person who leaves Judaism, whatever that is, that they would exempt him from Birchas Kohanim. They would do it. You're going to quote me this idea of Beis Chonyo. Oh, that case is different, for whatever reason. That case is different. That's like a physical exemption as opposed to this, which is just something in the mind. And therefore, therefore they could do Birchas Kohanim. So that's a question out there, and that's even a question how would a person not be allowed to do Birkas Kohen because of their approach to Judaism? Yeah.
Just for informational purposes, I'm pretty sure that Beis Chonyo was not an Avodah Zarah. I believe it was a parallel temple set up in Alexandria.
Oh, you're right. You're right. You're right. You are correct.
So I don't know why Tosfos takes that.
No, he raises that as a question. He says, no, you're right.
It's just a problem that this temple's not allowed to be in Alexandria.
No, but there was, I believe, now recalling, I believe that Gemara talks about that there's a knas imposed on people that were there.
Right, that's a
Well, that's right. That's what it's referring to. Now it's coming back to me.
Well,
so
that relates to changing your religion.
No. That's considered a napi karis. That's considered somebody who went off the derech and he's one supposed to do it, right? So there's considered a knas against those people, right? That's what those are saying. Okay, so, all right. So now the title of this year was blindness from seeing their hands. So where does that come from? So the Gemara tells us in Chagiga Daf Tesai Namarav Darash Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Nachman Ibn Tergumad Deresh Lakish Kol Amistaka B'Shulash Advarim Einav Kahus. Anybody who looks at three things, so their eyes begin to go bad. Their eyes begin to go blind. So what are those? B'Keshes Uvenasi Uvekuhuna. So Keshes is a rainbow. So I think we talked about that at Shal Shiddus a couple of years ago. You're not supposed to look at rainbows. A shear for another time. You're not supposed to stare at rainbows. You're allowed to look at it, acknowledge it, I think there's a brach you make on rainbows, right? And then you're not supposed to be staring at it. Different shear. Nasi, somebody who's in position of power, also, the Gemara figures out why that should be. And the last one listed on is Kohanim. That Kohanim you're not supposed to stare at. So the Gemara comments, Hamistakel b'Kohanim b'zman shebeis hamigdash kayim. If one looks at the Kohanim when the Beis Hamikdash was standing, shayu omdim al duchnan umevarchen es Yisrael b'shem hamafurish. When they were standing on the duchan and they were blessing Yisrael with the shem hamafurish. So the Gemara seems to clearly say that when is this prohibition intact? When they're in the Beis Hamikdash using the shem hamafurish, because the Shechina is, so to speak, on their hands at that point. The implication of the Gemara is that there is no issue with looking at their hands when it's not under those circumstances, right? So, right, that joke of what happens if you look at the hands of the Kohan and you go blind in one eye? If you look at it twice, you go blind in both eyes. What happens if you look at it the third time? Well, you can't, plus you're blind already, right? So this is the Gemara that it's based on. It's not exactly what the Gemara is saying explicitly, right? The Gemara is saying you'll have a weakening eyesight if you do such a thing. Okay, so is there any issue then? So that means that there's no issue with looking at the hands of the Kohanim? Well, not exactly. The Shulchan Aruch does quote the following halacha in source number 8. Mishayesh l'mum b'fanav obiyadav. That if a person has a mum, meaning we're not going to disqualify a bal mum kohen from doing berkas kohanim, but if he has a mum on his face or on his hands, kagon shehim vuhaknis buhaknis o akumos o akushos. Rashi says that it's like like leprosy kind of thing. It's turned white, or akumos is that it's like crooked, right? You have funny looking hands or fingers or something like that. That you can't divide your fingers. So lo yises kapav. In those situations, you shouldn't raise your hands. Why? Because everybody can look at it. Because everybody will look at it.
Hold on.
Similarly, if somebody has mum on their feet, below bati sokim. If they go up there without wearing socks, meaning if it's something that's going to be visible, it's going to be a problem. Similarly, he's spit falling down his beard, or his eyes are like matted down, that his eyes are like overrun with tears. So too if he's blind in one of his eyes. Now, what does it mean he's blind in one of his eyes? Why is that a problem? So blind in one of his eyes, and Shabura jumps in and says, no, it's, he's blind in one of his eyes, and it's like clearly recognizable that he's blind in one of his eyes. He, I don't know if it means he wears a patch, but he... It's discolored, or there's no dark in it, or something like that. So all of those are going to be a problem. What's the difference? So why specifically those women? So the truth is, you have to, this whole issue here, one has to raise this question. Why is it that something, we pointed out, some things are connected, are the same as it's done in the Beis HaMikdash, and some things are not the same as it's done in the Beis HaMikdash, right? That we declare who's in and who's out. So why would that be? So I found this article, Din Online, I think, Din Online, that explained, or it suggested, that the distinction would be, this makes a lot of sense, that it depends what's recognizable to others versus what's not recognizable to others. So the idea of a mum, passing a coin, when it's a mum, a problem, inherent problem, so that's going to be a problem, that even bizman hazeh, right? Being drunk is going to be a problem even bizman hazeh. But some other issues, the issues of Himira might not be an issue, and Mumin that are not recognizable are not going to be a problem as much. I mean, the whole thing is to make it look like it's done in the Beis HaMikdash, but not necessarily that it has to have the same rules and regulations. So that's the issue here with the Mumin, right? That the Mumin are, if it's a Mumin that's going to be visible, so then you got a problem. So what's visible in a Kohen? Well, when he's doing Birkas Kohanim, what's visible are his, I know we cover it, but hold on. This is without talking about covering it. His hands, his face, and in theory, his feet. So we have to worry about Mumin there, but we don't have to worry about Mumin in the rest of his body. That seems to be the psak from the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch then continues in Sif Lamed Aleph and says, "So im minhag haola hamakom l'shalshal kohanim talas al peneim afilish b'funav yadav kama mumin yisas kapav." But if the minhag in that shul is that the kohanim would cover their faces and cover their hands, so then you don't even have to worry about those mumin because nobody's going to be able to see them. The Rama Ezer v'dafkim hayu yadav b'funim min atalas, as long as his hands are under the talas. But if they're outside the talas, so then obviously you have a problem once again. Right? Why? What's the concern? The concern is that people are going to see those mumin, and then what? And they're going to be distracted. That's the issue. They're going to be distracted, and they're not going to be able to concentrate on the bracha that's coming from the kohanim. Right? So that is really the mum issue, and that's the idea of looking. So the Shulchan Aruch does talk about looking at the hands of the Kohanim explicitly, and that's Sif Chaf Gimel. So Bishasha Kohen Mevarchim Ha'am, when the Kohanim are blessing the nation, Lo Yabitu V'lo Yasichu Daitam. So you shouldn't have Hesach Hadas. You shouldn't look around. You shouldn't have Hesach Hadas. Ela Yu Einehem Kalpi Mata K'moshe Omid B'Tfila. Rather, your eyes should be facing down, like they do during tefillah, looking down, but not necessarily that your whole head is looking down, just that you're looking straight ahead with your eyes down. Sorry, va'am, you're right. Okay, va'am, what does the nation do? Yechovnu lebracha, they have kavanah for the bracha. V'yu p'neim keneged p'nei kohanim, right? And their faces are supposed to be opposite the kohanim. V'lo yistachlem behem, but not looking at them because they're going to be looking down, right? They have to be facing the Kohanim, but they shouldn't be. But they shouldn't be looking directly at the Kohanim, right? And because of the hands, comes the Rama and says, "V'gam Kohanim lo yistalchul biyadehem al kain nagu yishashal atalas al peneihem biyadehem chutz latalas." So therefore, the Kohanim shouldn't look at their hands. Therefore, the minhag is that they cover the talus over their faces biyadehem chutz latalas, but they put their hands outside the talus so that the Kohanim don't see their hands. Comes the Rama and adds in, that their hands are actually under the talus so that people don't look at them. And I think that is the minute. The minute, I think, is that they keep their hands under the talus so that the nation, that the people, that the kal, that the kila, won't be able to see their hands. So if that's the case, does that mean that they can look up? So the Mishnah Berurah, and for some reason, the Mishnah Berurah on this section, on specific sections, doesn't look at my Bar Ilan. That's the only thing that doesn't seem to work. But here's the Mishnah Berurah. What's the Lomar? Why not? Why shouldn't they look at them? So the Mishnah Berurah says, Lo bifnei hakohanim velo biyadehem. Not at the face of the Kohanim, not their hands. V'hatam hu gamkin, k'doy shelo yasichu daitem mehabracha. The reason is so that they don't have hesach hadas, that they don't get distracted. V'im kein kol shekein shelo yistalku b'makom acher v'medina, b'makom acher. So if they can't look at the Kohanim, certainly they shouldn't be looking at out the window. They shouldn't be looking at the trees or looking at the snow. Although when we do breakfast Kohanim, it's never snowing. But they shouldn't be looking at any of that. But they should be looking down or looking, closing their eyes or something. Umedina eno aser ela behistaklus meruba. And the din alacha really is, it's only not a lot of looking that's a problem. Sheyacho lavo lide hesach hadas. Because that will lead to hesach hadas. Aval riyak tsas shari. But to just look a little bit, that's okay. The dafk bizman hamikdash. The only time the Beis HaMikdash hayim levarachim b'shem hamafurish hashchina haisa shir al yadayim hayas. Only the Beis HaMikdash where there is a real prohibition of looking at their hands. Afili riyak tsas. Even a little bit, mashenki bizman hazeh, umikol makom noagim gam achshav zecher lemikdash lo lahabi pehem klal. However, we do have a minhag, says the Mishnah Berurah, zecher lemikdash, not to look at them at all. So the Mishnah Berurah does have that minhag.
So there's no shechina on their hands outside.
So that's the assumption, right? The assumption is that that there's no shechina on them. That we're sort of getting the bracha directly from the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and the shechina is not resting on top of their hands. Right? That's the
not
right. Okay.
So you can be standing behind her.
No. That halacha is not the last mission in Maseches Roshana, I believe, discusses that. As that you're not allowed to do, you should make the effort of going in front. I mean, that just shows a lack of effort. Yeah.
So, if the shin is out of our hands, and we're getting the bracha straight from Hashem, what is their purpose?
What's the point? Yes. It's not Seichel Mish, but this is the actual mitzvah. So the presumption is by raising their hands, your attention is being grabbed towards that ideal. It's not really the Kohanim giving the bracha, but it's sort of like when Yeshua raised the hands of Moshe and everybody was reminded to look up.
But we're not supposed to, but we know they're raising their hands, but we're not supposed to look at them raising their hands.
I think we know what's going on, and therefore our attention is being raised lamala. I think that's the approach.
So can we? Oh, sorry. I just was thinking when we bust the kids Friday night. Is it midnight to put your hands on the kids?
So this is a few years ago. I think at a Shal Shudas, we talked about this. There are those that raise the issue that it's not only Kohanim should be doing that. Others shouldn't. And that's why some, including me, will only use one hand. Or some say don't do any hands. It's not a. There's no Indian of using hands by blessing the children. I think that's the way out of that issue. Yeah.
Another issue to tell people not to turn away from the cooking.
Right.
Some people have the custom to turn away so they don't see the hands. When you do that, it's as if you're.
Right. So that's clearly problematic. Shulchan Aruch seems to be says right. You should be having Paneim. Your face should be facing them. Whether you should be looking up or whether you're looking down, but certainly one should be facing directly at the Kohanim. Yeah. Okay. Other thing we wanted to discuss, two other things we wanted to discuss, is the issue of a Kohen who killed. So we've heard this, that are we familiar with this idea, that if a Kohen ever killed somebody, the Gemara seems to say, that they're not allowed to do Berachas Kohanim anymore. So that actually is connected to last week's shir. The Gemara says in Maseches Brachos, on source number 9, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Gedola Tefila Yoser Mina Karbanos, right, that Tefila is more important than Karbanos, Shneemar, Lama Li Rav Zivchichem. But the pasuk says, why do I need all of your karbanos? If you remember, that was a quote source last week for the idea of that in the future we might not have karbanos because Hashem says, I don't want your karbanos. So that's not really what's going on here. It's really, I don't need your karbanos if you're treating everybody like dirt. That's really what it means. But uksiv, and then it says, uvafar shechem kafichem, and that you will spread your hands, and the pasuk continues on and says, and they'll be covered in blood. So I don't want your bracha if when you spread your hands, they're covered in blood. So I'm Rabbi Yochanan, called Kohen Shahara, I guess, an official Yisa's Kapav. So any Kohen that killed a person, so lo Yisa Kapav, you shouldn't do Birchas Kohenim anymore. Shnei Amar, Yideichem Damim Milat, that your hands are filled with blood, that your hands have blood on them, they shouldn't have, you shouldn't be doing this. So that's pretty big. What does that mean? Who killed? Who killed in any scenario?
Somebody who's in the army or
right. Some Lachemah's mitzvah, or somebody's in the army, or let's say you weren't in the army, or let's say you happened to be in a car accident at some point in your life. Right. So you, or what about if you're a doctor and you killed somebody on the operating table, b'shogeg? So all of those are questions that are surrounding this issue. Incidentally, there is a Tosfos in the beginning of Maseches Yevamos that seems to imply that understands that if Kohen who killed is not allowed to do Birchas Kohanim, obviously they're not allowed to do Avod in the Beis Hamikdash. And then Tosfos says, no, well, not necessarily. You don't necessarily have to make that connection. There might be a Birkas Kohanim Halacha specifically. So Chavar Mayin wrote a book, a novel, a couple of years ago, a decade ago, about called Murder in the Mikdash. And who the plot of the book was. It's about Mashiach comes nowadays, and like how, what's life going to be if Mashiach all of a sudden arrives. If anyone wants to borrow it, I have it in my house. But the plot of the book was is that a Kohen killed somebody in a car accident, and he doesn't want anybody to know because he can't lose his position. He's losing his job, and he's like in charge of fundraising or something. So he can't lose his position. He's high up in the kahuna, so it's like a cover-up. So that leads to an Egla Arufa ceremony, right? That's the plot. So I pointed out to the author that the novel only works according to one day in Tosfos, right? because the assumption of the book is that if you killed, you're not allowed to do the avod in the Beis Hamikdash. But no, that might only be a Birkas Kohanim halacha, not a halacha in the avod. So right. Keep that in mind if you end up reading it. So the what about all those scenarios? So the Shulchan Aruch comments as follows. So what does it say in Shulchan Aruch? Shaharagas anefesh, Kohen shaharagas anefesh, afil b'shogeg lo yises kapav. If a Kohen killed somebody, even by accident, he can't do Birkas Kohanim anymore. Afilu asa tshuva, even if he does tshuva. That's it. It's done. There's nothing you can do about it. Comes the Rama and says, v'yishorim tzim asa tshuva no se kapav. Well, if he does tshuva, so then he can do it. So you already see that's a big weakening of the wall. We should be makel on bali tshuva so that we don't like close the door on them. So that's v'hachi nog, and that's our minug. So that's a little questionable. Wait a second. Only for bali tshuva? I mean, we have a couple of kulas that are out there that we will say bali tshuva to do something, but others we won't apply the leniency to them. So what exactly is the Rama driving at here? And that's our minug. Our minug is that we're makil in for everybody, or the minug is that we're lenient only for bali tshuva, right? Which is the minug? So it's a little unclear. The next Shulchan Aruch adds in though mal tinok v'meif. Let's say you're a moel and you did a mila, and unfortunately the baby died. So you could still do birkas kohanim, right? V'im am meranim achar shu shofich damim kiyem shelo nisbara davar yisa es kapav. And if they're saying about him that he is a murderer because he didn't, because it's unclear, he should still do Birchas Kohanim. Okay, but the first one is interesting. Mal tinok umeis. So why is that allowed? Why is that okay? So the assumption is if it's for a Dvar Mitzvah, so then it's going to be okay. So it's based on that. If you look, so on the I put a copy here of the Sefer Piskei Tshuvos here. So if you look at number Ayin Zayin, we'll start with that one. So a doctor who caused Chola to die. So there it says, but if you did it Lutzorich Mitzvah, so just as a Moel is doing it for the purpose of a Mitzvah, we allow him to continue doing Birkas Kohanim. So a doctor, I don't know how you became a doctor if you're a Kohen, that's a different problem, but if you are a doctor and you came into this issue, so then you would still be permitted to do Birkas Kohanim.
Because it's not really killing. And killing is assumes an intention.
Right.
But it's still not killing, I think.
It says shaharagas anefesh afilu b'shogeg. No, it includes shogeg. It includes you did it by accident, at least in Shulchan Aruch. That's the way it says.
Is that also mean he can't serve in the temple or just we have to go?
So I said that's the machlokas and tosfos. Those are the two opinions. But so what else do we have here? So the Ayin Dalet talks about a Kohen who killed a non-Jew. So the assumption there is, if he did it by accident, we allow it. And if he did it on purpose, so he says here that, no, that's a problem. That means you're a murderer, even if you killed a non-Jew, because...
What if it's self-defense?
I didn't say it's self-defense. This is shaharigas anefesh, if you're a murderer, right?
Also, so you're Rotzeach.
If you're a Rotzeach, okay. Now, what I find the most fascinating is number Ayin Hay, because that deals with the soldiers in the army. So can a soldier in the army get exempted from this issue somehow? So the... On the bottom here, it says, Sifri Achronim, right? The most of the Achronim who talked about this until the last 50, 60 years talked about it with regards to Jews in a non-Jewish army, meaning Jews who fought in the German army, or Jews who fought in the French army, or the Russian army, which there were many. And there are these stories that are out there of a Jew about to kill and bayonet another person, says Shema Yisrael, and he realizes he's about to kill a Jew. And there's a lot of literature about if that story happened or whether it happened many times. I think there's a blog on the main line where you could find where he has an article about this, about these stories and how he traces them back to the middle of the 1800s and into the Franco-Prussian War. These stories are already happening. But so that question was asked, and there they paskin uvishas hamelchama hay on top of the middle column here. Hayachul likro shechayim yehudim imdinas achas yehargu baonis uvelishim asleiv chayim yehudim imdinas hashashinis. That there were Jews who killed other Jews. Umisakonas halacha bezel lahatir lekohen shehaya begayis kazel lisa kapav. And the maskan of the lacha was that we matered it. Most people are makil in these situations. Ki harei. It's unclear whether he even killed a Jew. Even those that are machmir is only if there was a Jew standing in front of him and he killed him. But if that didn't certainly happen, and certainly if they only went to the army, they didn't even want to be in the army in the first place, so then we would be permissible. And then he adds, and if on the enemy side there were only non-Jews, so then it's obvious that a Kohen would be able to do Birchas Kohanim because he's doing it in self-defense, he's doing it Ba'onis, he's doing it perhaps in modern-day Israel, he's doing it Tzorach Mitzvah. So it seems like in the Piskei Tshuva, everybody would assume it's okay. The exception is, Rav Kohen's not here, I'm sure he'd be shouting at me already, is Rav Soloveitchik. Rav Soloveitchik was, in Nefesh HaRav, is recorded as being machmer on this question. He felt that it's a din. It seems like he passed like the Mechaber. That's the halacha. The halacha is, if you have blood on your hands, you can't do Birchas Kohanim, regardless of whether whatever the circumstances were that put you in that situation. Okay, so that's the last issue we discuss is, I heard that there's a question, I think Ari Leibovitz quotes this question that he talked to Schechter about, that he was asked, the spotter for a sniper, that there's a sniper, and then apparently there's a spotter who sees everything and gives directions to the sniper. So he was that guy was a Kohen, and apparently so is that guy then going to? So Rav Schechter felt it was. He said Rav Schechter wasn't sure. He said Rav Schechter thought it was a kasha. So you can only say that it's a question if you assume like Rav Soloveitchik's understanding that it's a din and there's no way around it. Okay, the last issue is the idea of Birchas Kohanim every day. So in Eretz Yisrael, we all know that they do Birchas Kohanim every day. And in Chutz La'aretz, it's very unclear why we don't. Why don't we do Birchas Kohanim every day? So it's not even mentioned in the Mechaber. I didn't see where the Mechaber says do it every day. The Mechaber just so doing Hichel's Birchas Kohanim. And all of a sudden, in source number 11, which is Sif Mem Dalet, all the way at the end of the Siman, he says, Kohen Afa Pishu Panoi No Seas Kapav. A Kohen, even if he's single, would do Birchas Kohanim. So what's the implication of that? The implication is that there's at least a thought to say that a single Kohen would not do it. Why not? Because he's not the Simcha. He's not at rest. He's not, he doesn't have, so, which implies that there's a need to have some level of Simcha. So then the Ramah, in his explanation of that, right in the middle there, in the third line down, in the middle of that line, he says, Nagu b'chol medinos elu she'ein nosin kapayim ela biyontov. That our minag in these countries is only to do Berchas Kohanim on Yontov, mishum sha'az shiruim b'simchas Yontov, v'tov lev hu yivarech. But that's when you're involved with Simcha, v'tov lev hu yivarech. And only if you're good in the heart, should you make the bracha, Masha'inki Mishar Yom, as opposed to the rest of the days, even the Shabbosim of the rest of the year, because you're involved with all the other things you have to worry about. So it's only Yantif and only at Musaf, because when you're up to Musaf already, you're almost end of your shul's almost over, and you're happy at that point. Right?
When
so
growing up, they didn't, if Yantif came out on Shabbos, they didn't.
So there is this idea of not doing it on Shabbos, or Salvechik almost got himself fired over that issue. When he got to Boston, he said all the shuls, he was in davening, when he became, he was the Rav Ha'ir of Boston. So he davened in some shul on Pesach, which fell out on Shabbos, and they don't do Birchas Kohanim, and he starts yelling, no, and he forces the Kohanim to go up, and they did it. And then they told him, if you don't mind, please don't come back here ever again. or maybe don't come back here on Yontif ever again. Like he said, so, and I think he and Rav Kefet quotes the story as like, Rav Soloveitchik would tell this over to Rabbanim about, I made the wrong decision. I was a young, fiery Rav, and I thought I could do whatever I wanted, and you can't, and the rabbi has to know how to pick his battles. So there's very little, there's very little source, as we'll see in a moment, there's very little source to say that you shouldn't do it every day. So my position is you should try to do it then as much as possible, and there's no real reason to not do it on Shabbos / Yontif, but that certainly is a minug that is out there. I'm not sure, I don't know which I don't know, like, where that came from, like, which part of Europe.
There was a transition point. I'm talking about maybe 20, 30 years ago when people started doing it.
So people started doing it then. All right, so there is such a Minhag out there. I'm not sure which line that's from. Like, is that Russian, Ukrainian, Polish? I'm not sure where that comes from. Okay, so there is a famous story that's recorded in the Aruch HaShulchan, and the Aruch HaShulchan alludes to it. It's quoted by others, that V'hinei Vadai, the Aruch HaShulchan, who tries to defend all the Minhagim. So the Aruch HaShulchan says, V'hinei Vadai ain shum tam nachon l'minhageinu. There's no real good reason why we don't do Berachas Kohanim every day. Levat l'mitzvah s'asid d'Berachas Kohanim kol hashana kula. We get rid of the entire mitzvah the whole year. That's a bad minhag. What can we do? What should we do? It's as if there's a baskel that went out that won't allow us to do Berachas Kohanim the entire year. And I have a Kabbalah. There were two Gedolei Hador in the generations prior that tried doing it. They want to do it every day. And when the day came for them to do it, it got messed up and they couldn't do it. And they said, I see that it's Min HaShemayim that it was Gozer, that we're not going to do it every day. Who were those two people? So one was the Vilna Gaon and one was his Talmud Rav Chaim Volozhiner. They both tried reinstituting Berachas Kohanim every day. The Vilna Gaon, I forget which one is which, I think it was the Vilna Gaon who got arrested. The night before this was supposed to happen, he got arrested. The Vilna Gaon was involved with certain things that...
Not because he wanted to do Berachas.
No, not allegedly, but, right? And when Rav Chaim Volozhiner tried to do it, there was a big fire and a bunch of shul in the house, a couple of houses burnt down in the vicinity. So they said, we see that we shouldn't do it. It's as if a baskel came out and said that he shouldn't do it. So the way I always learned is like one of the sources for, you know, do we follow siman min hashemayim al pi halacha, right? Do we take signs of things that happen and say, oh, we should paskin in that specific way? And we generally assume that we shouldn't, right? The Tanur Shel Achnai story, lo b'shamayim hi, right? So what's going on here? So I always just settled, like, all right, fine. You know, I guess sometimes we do listen to and it's min hashemayim. So in the book Making of a Gadol. In the book Making of a Gadol, this is worth reading the whole 1,000 pages for this story. It has the following idea. Rabbi Yeshua Gitzaltzer reported from our protagonist, meaning from Yaakov Kamenetsky, that Rabbi Yisrael Salanter declared that if he held like Rav Chaim of Elazar, the Lech requires Dilan Nisiyas Kapayim, meaning Rabbi Yisrael Salanter said, if I held Meikar Adin like Rav Chaim, that you should do it, he would have rebuilt the shul and reinstituted despite the fire. Meaning the things that happen in the heaven has no impact on halacha. If that's the halacha, that's the halacha. Right? In my father's youth, he had heard that the opponents of Israel's Musar movement cited this declaration of Israel to demonstrate how that innovator dared impudently to argue against the great disciple of the Vilna Gaon, Rav Chaim of Elazar, who was more knowledgeable in the heavy matters than he. So everybody fought. They said, oh, Rav Yisrael Salanter, you can't listen to him. You see, he even picks on Rav Chaim of Elazar. He disagreed with Rav Chaim of Elazar. So Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky commented here. So the paragraph goes on, but on the right side of the page, he sees my father brushed aside the argument that Rabbi Yisrael was disagreeing with Rav Chaim Volozhiner on heavenly matters by assuming, what's the machlokas between Rabbi Yisrael Salanter and Rav Chaim Volozhiner, right? If there's a fire if a fire shows up and seems to show one way or the other, decisively, halachically, whether we should listen to that fire. Right, so Yaakov said, "No, that's not what the issue was." Right, heavenly matters by asserting that Rav Chaim agreed essentially with Rav Yisrael. Rav Chaim said, "Right, that signs from the heaven can't challenge halacha." Right, Rav Chaim agreed with Rav Yisrael Salanter, but our protagonist said, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, right, Rav Chaim was afraid that if he were to attempt to render the priestly blessing again, they, meaning the arsonists, would set fire to the rebuilt shul. So what was the use? Meaning the same guy who started the fire the first time is going to start the fire the second time. Right? So it's not like we're led to believe in yeshiva that they believe, you see, it's a sign from Shemayim. No, they realize that it's going to just cause too big of a machlokas, right? Even though it's the Vilna Gaon saying to do it, and even though it's the Chaim of Elazar saying to do it, right? Minhag Yisrael is Minhag Yisrael, and you can't pick on, you can't just decide to change whatever one feels. All right. Yeshika.